Good morning. I must admit, it actually wasn't my idea for the leadership to read through the Bible this year. It was actually David or Greg's idea, but since Bob already said that I was right and he was wrong, I'm just going to stay with that. I'll take credit for it. I find a little comfort in knowing that it's not just me that he doesn't pay attention to, it's his fellow elders as well. So that's okay. A number of years ago in the church I grew up in, a mother and a grandmother made the decision we're going to go back to church. They hadn't been to church in a while, a number of years. And so a mother had this 4-year-old son. And mom and grandma are getting ready for church that morning that they're going to start back. And well, the boy, he wasn't too excited. In fact, he didn't want to go. And so they're trying to coach him along and tell him, come on, you know, this is going to be a good thing. And we're going to go see God. Don't you want to go see God? And so, well, okay, he got his shoes on and got ready and they went to church. Well, after church, they couldn't get him to leave. And come to find out, he hadn't seen God yet. And he wasn't leaving until you told me we're going to see God. And this kid wanted to see God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Outside of Jesus, there's one person that walked this earth that actually saw God. Not his face. Scripture says man can't see God's face and live. He saw an essence of God that was so much higher than anything any other person has ever seen. And of course, that was Moses. And in Exodus 33, this chapter we pick up after Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, God sent the 10 plagues and he led this nation out of Egypt and they've escaped Pharaoh. Pharaoh's dead. And now Moses is on Mount Sinai, you know, getting his instructions from God. Well, he's there like 40 days. And the people get restless, and they're frustrated, and they don't know where Moses went. He's gone. And so they talk Aaron into making them a golden calf, and we're going to worship it. Well, God was very angry about that, and rightfully so. And so Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 is where we pick up. And it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants.'" And so God tells Moses, go on. So the plan is still intact. You go to the promised land that I promise. But notice we get a little hint of what's changed here, because God says, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt. You may remember that previously, God, when he talked about the people, the nation, God would always say, my people, lead my people, Moses, guide my people. Now it's Moses, you take your people. They're Moses' people now, not God's. Well, verse 2, God says, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites. Verse 3, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. And so, you know, everything sounds good here. You go on to the land that I promised, I'll send an angel. He will drive out the people who are there. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. You ever get on to your kid and get so frustrated with them, you send them to their room, you say, go to your room, and they start talking back and you say, you better go to your room right now. You do not want to be in the same room with me right now. You're so frustrated. And God said, Moses, you take them. I'm out. I'm not going. I'll send an angel. The plan is still in place, but you take them. I'm not going. If I do, I might kill them. What would it be like for the Israelites to go without God? You know, God led them out of Egypt. God beat Pharaoh. He killed Pharaoh. He's led them. He's protected them. What would it be like for us to live tomorrow without God? Here's a bigger question. Would it be any different than what yesterday was like? Think about that for a minute. If God wasn't with me tomorrow, would it be any different than yesterday? Did I include God in my day yesterday? Too often we go through an entire day, not thinking of God one time. Well, verse 4 says, when the people heard these distressing words, how do you think they reacted? God has said, you guys go on, good place to go, angel will take care of you, I'm not going. Now, I want to take a poll of our teens, just the front row here. Your parents tell you, we're going out of town for a week. You're going to stay home, you're in charge, there's food in the fridge, food in the pantry, you have the keys to the house, you call us if you need something. Is that thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up? That's five thumbs up. Can you? That's 100%. I remember my senior year, being the youngest, you know, my senior year, I'm the only kid still at home, and mom and dad went somewhere for a week, left me home. Son, food in the pantry, food in the fridge, keys to the door, call us if you need us. I mean, it was two thumbs up. I loved it. I had a really good week, and that's all that I'll say about that. Why don't the people here, why doesn't the nation say, woohoo? You know, we don't have to worry about God telling us what to do. We don't have to worry about His rules. We can go on and He'll send an angel. Why are they not excited? Scripture says they began to mourn. And no one put on any ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. The Israelites grieved. And they grieved because they knew how much they needed God. What would they eat? Where would they sleep? Who would protect them? Who would bless them? Who would comfort them? Do we know how much we need God? Turn to Acts 17. This was our scripture reading this morning. Acts 17, 24. I don't know that we realize how much we need God. I don't know that I realize how much I need God. Acts 17 is a great passage about how much we need God. And verse 24 says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands, as if He needed anything. Because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him, and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. How much do we need God? Scripture tells us every breath you take is from God. Scripture tells us if you woke up this morning, which obviously you did, it's because of God. Everything we do is because of God. He gives us life, breath, He gives us everything else. Well, back in Exodus, verse 11, Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And I like that verse. You know, that's not all through the Bible. That's not said about everybody. God would speak to Moses like you would speak to a friend. They had that kind of a relationship. You know, that's the kind of relationship I want with God. Don't you want that? Where when you pray to Him, it's you and your friend together. When you read your Bible, you're listening to your friend talk to you. God Almighty. Reading on, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Moses is not happy. You know, and the people are not happy. God, if you're not going, we can't go. And Moses is wanting God to go with him. And verse 13 is the key verse in this entire story, in this entire chapter, two chapters. Verse 13, here's what Moses says. He wants God to go with them. But look at what he says. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Moses didn't miss the fact that earlier God said, Moses, you lead your people. You lead the people. And Moses says, hey God, don't forget, they're your people. But Moses in verse 13, he doesn't ask God, go with us. Now he will, but he doesn't ask that in verse 13. In verse 13, he says, God, teach me about you. I want to know you. And the whole focus changes here. It changes from, now we're supposed to go and you're not going with us? It changes from that to, God, I just want to know you. Moses knew that God's ways were different from his. We have the tendency to try to make God like us. We have the tendency to try to make God's ways like our ways. We have the tendency to look at something and say, well, I don't think this is a problem. God would understand this. Why? Well, because I understand it. I don't think this is a big deal. I don't think this is really sinful. Why? Well, because I just don't feel like it is. So, you know, surely God doesn't. We bring him down to us. Moses said, God, I don't understand you. I know you're different. I know you're better. And he didn't try to make God like him. He tried to understand and rise up to who God was. And in the end, that's what we want. When you're doing your daily Bible reading, isn't that what you're finding? Aren't you discovering who God is? I mean, when you read it, it's being revealed to us. We read about, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we're reading about God's Son in the flesh. He is God. And we understand God more. And it's wonderful. Moses asked to know God, and look at what God does. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. Isn't that interesting? Moses didn't ask God, go with us. Moses said, God, I want to know you. And God said, I'll go with you. Why did God change his mind? He did change his mind. And God does change his mind. God doesn't lie, but he will change his mind, and he has that privilege. And here he says, my presence. Literally, in the Hebrew, presence means my faces. Now, we think of being two-faced, but in this respect, it's nothing negative. It's my face. It's the different parts of me. It's the different parts of my qualities or sides or manifestations. And when the Israelites go into the promised land, they need all that. They need God's comforting side. They need God's power. They need his vengeance on their enemies. They need his protection. They need his love. They need all his faces. And Moses said to him, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses is a wise man. He says, God, if you don't go, we don't want to go. We won't go without you. Do we go places without God? Do we go places with our eyes without God? Do we go places with our minds and we don't take God with us? Because we shouldn't be there. Do we go places with our hearts without God? Do we go to work or just a normal work week and going about our day not realizing we haven't invited God to come along with us? Not realizing how much we need God to come along. Moses said to God, if you're not going, I'm not going. There are internet pages we don't need to go to. Because if we had God sitting beside us, we wouldn't go there, would we? 50 Shades of Grey is not something we should read or see, should we? Because none of us honestly would invite God to be there with us and partake in that, would we? There are movies that we watch that we wouldn't invite God to. God, we're going to go see this movie. Better leave. God, you might want to check out that G-rated one down the hall. We're going to be in here, though. Music, TV shows. And our struggle is not thinking about God. I remember a skit as a teen, and I know some of you have seen this and will probably remember it. And I want to just kind of demonstrate, not really show it, but I'm going to have Preston come up and help because I need another individual. In the skit, Preston, he represents Jesus. And so you have one person talking, and they get a call on their phone, and their friends are going to go down to the creek and, you know, hang out and have a good time. Have a good time, wink, wink. And so the Christian, who really shouldn't be going there, you know, gets off the phone and talks to their friend, who's not identified yet as Jesus, but talks to their friend and says, you know, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be gone for a while, but I'll be back. And when they go to leave, the friend follows. And they turn around and say, no, now, you're not really, this isn't really your thing. Like, I mean, I'm going to go, it's my friends, it's not really something I know, you're not going to have a good time. So I think it's better, you just stay here, I'll be back, you know, and the friend follows. And this kind of goes on for a little bit. And then finally, the Christian gets agitated and said, I said, stay here. And you have that image of Jesus on the cross, and the Christian leaves. Thank you, Preston. And that skit, man, you don't. That skit has always got me. We need to think about where we go. And we need to realize not only do I need God with me all the time, but there are places, as a Christian, I don't go. We don't go. We can't go. Because we need God, and we know good and well we're not going to take God there. Verse 16, Moses, here's his statement. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Look at the reason Moses said, he's so much wiser than I am, I'll speak for me. Moses, he doesn't say, God, you have to go with us. We need your protection. We need your strength. Moses says, God, if you don't go, what will make us different? If you don't go, we'll just be like everyone else, and people won't understand you. They won't know you. There will be nothing to distinguish us. We want to be different. We want to be your people. Isn't that why we let our light shine? Isn't that why you try to be different? I'm driving home yesterday. I get in the neighborhood. I come up to a stop sign. There's a car in front of me, and they stop. I come up behind them. I will disclose, I was not in a hurry. Okay. The devil works on me when I drive sometimes. I'll put it that way. So I come up behind this car, thankfully not in a hurry. But they just sit there. And I can tell they're fiddling with something. They're doing, you know, I've done it. But anyway, they don't know I'm behind them. And I think about honking, and then I think, you know, I'm not even in a hurry. And I just sit there. And sit there. And sit there a little bit later, and finally they go, and off we go. And the thought to me was, not that honking is rude. If someone doesn't see the green light, you know, beep, beep, off we go. But why? I mean, at the stop sign, why? There's no real need. I don't need to land on my horn and someone think that I'm, you know, really frustrated. I'm not. Not in a hurry. They don't know I'm a Christian. I realize that. But when we let our light shine, when we love people and we're gracious and we're patient with people, isn't that why? Aren't we trying to show the world who our Father is? It's not about us. I mean, we invite people to join us, but it's not to join us, it's to join God. Well, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. That's God changed his mind. Moses pleased him. And I think he pleased him the most when Moses said, God, I just want to know you. And so verse 18, Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You have two things going on here. One is, the big thing is, God, go with us. But the second thing within the larger picture is Moses saying, God, I want to see you. I want to know you. And God says, okay, I'll allow this. I'll allow you to see me. Now understand, it's not so much Moses seeing God like we see each other. It's more Moses seeing who God is, as much and less of it being what God looks like. God says, I'll let my goodness pass in front of you. This phrase, proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence, it's found nowhere else. Understand, there are two things happen here. God says, I'll let you see my essence, and I will also proclaim something. And God does. Verse 20, no one can see me face to face. But verse 22, when my glory passes, God tells Moses, I will pass in front of you. Moses is in a cave. And God says, when I do, I will put my hand over you to protect you until I have passed. And then you can see kind of the weaker side of God. I use the word weaker because face to face it's too strong. Moses would die. And Moses does see God. And what do you think that was like? You know, to give us an idea of what it was like, afterward, Moses' face was so bright. Afterward, they put a veil on Moses' face. He sees God, and later he glows. Supernaturally. What was it like for Moses to see God? Have you ever seen God? Don't you wish you could see God? And the good news is we do see God. I see a baby sleeping here really peacefully, and I see God. I see a mother's touch, and I see God. I see a father's strength, and I see God. I see nature, and I see God. Don't you see how God blesses your life? If you've ever had a prayer answered, I mean a prayer that you prayed and God answered it. Didn't you see God? It's the most wonderful thing. And Moses sees God. And afterwards, verse 8, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. O Lord, if I found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us in as your inheritance. And that's our prayer, isn't it? I mean, God, I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me tomorrow, God. Every step, every hour, God, I want you to be there. And God, when I sin, it is wicked. And I don't want to. And I need your forgiveness. We're like those people, aren't we? Aren't we stiff-necked? I mean, we need to continue to grow in humility toward God. And love God. When I go on a trip, there's one thing that I try to make sure I leave the house with. One thing. I might forget, you know, a number of things. There's one thing. If I'm driving down the road on a trip, 2 hour, 3 hour, you know, a day trip or overnight trip, there's one thing. I have to have this. If I don't have my wallet, as soon as the gas tank gets low, I'm in trouble. I don't leave house without this. Once in a while, I forget, but I don't go on a trip without it. When we leave home, we need to take God with us. We remember to take our cell phone. Like a teenager needs their cell phone is how we need God, all right? Like you need your wallet going on a trip somewhere is like we need God. We have to have Him. We're going to sing an invitation song, I Need Thee Every Hour. It's an old song, but what a great message. So just a reminder today, take with you, we need God a lot more than we think we do. We need to stay out of places we wouldn't take Him with us. Take God with you today. Take Him tomorrow. Take Him with you all the time. Stand with me if there's someone this morning that has a need. We'd love to pray with you. If someone needs to have their sins washed away and put on Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. Just please come while we sing.
I need